Welcome to An Encouraged Heart. This is Cynthia, and thank you for joining me for Bible study. Currently, we are studying Jesus, understanding his death and resurrection, and this study covers the final three chapters of the Gospel of Mark. If you are new to my podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to Jesus experiencing his touch, and also Jesus listening for his voice. Those two studies examined Mark chapters 1 through 13. And just so you know, you can also find the following Bible studies on my podcast: Living Victoriously in Difficult Times, Being a Disciple, Counting the Real Cost, and Loving God and Others, the Heart of True Faith. You can purchase any one of the Bible study workbooks by simply going online to Precept Ministries. The books are part of Precept's 40-minute Bible study series. I have included a link to their website in the description section of each episode. Also, you will notice as I read through the text, I will ask you to mark keywords and phrases. This method of Bible study allows us to slow down and carefully observe the passages verse by verse. This will help each one of us to better interpret and apply God's Word. And now, please open your Bible or your workbook and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I ask that you would continue, Lord, to lead and guide us as we open up your Word. Help us, Lord, to receive all that you would have for us. Bless every listener. In Jesus' name, amen. We will begin on page 68, and we are looking at today Psalm chapter 22, verses 6 through 18. So please grab your Bible or open your workbook. And again, we're on page 68 of the workbook, looking at Psalm chapter 22, verses 6 through 18. And it says here that we're going to continue to mark with a cross the references to the psalmist, the words I and me, and the lowercase occurrences of him, which begins in verse 8. We're going to also mark with a triangle the references to the Lord, referring to God the Father, including all pronouns, such as the capitalized him in verse 8. And also, we're going to underline every reference to men and the people, including pronouns and any synonyms, such as bulls and dogs. Okay, beginning at verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, so mark I, referring to the psalmist, a reproach of men and despised by the people, so underline men and the people. The next verse, all who see me sneer at me, so mark the word all, mark me and me, referring to the psalmist. They separate with the lip, so underline they, referring to the people. They wag their head, saying, so mark they again, underline that. Verse 8, commit yourself to the Lord, let him deliver him. So here we would mark yourself with a cross. You would also mark the word Lord with a triangle. Let him deliver him. So you would mark the capitalized him with a triangle, and the lowercase him with a cross. Let him rescue him. Again, mark the capitalized him with a triangle and the lowercase him with a cross, because he delights in him. Mark he with a triangle and him with a cross. Moving on to verse 9. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. So mark you and he with triangles, mark me with a cross. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. So you would mark you with a triangle, me and my with a cross. Verse 10, upon you I was cast from birth. So mark you with a triangle, I with a cross. You have been my God from my mother's womb. So mark you with a triangle, my with a cross, God with a triangle, my as well with a cross. Be not far from me, mark that with a cross, the word me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. So That's referring to people, underline the word none. Verse 12, many bulls have surrounded me. So underline bulls, mark me with a cross. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. So mark bulls and also mark me with a cross. They open wide their mouth at me. So mark they and there. Underline those words. Mark me with a cross as a ravening and a roaring lion. Verse 14, I am poured out like water. So mark I with a cross and all my, and all my bones are out of joint. Mark my with a cross. My heart is like wax. Mark my with a cross as well. It is melted within me. Mark me with a cross. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. Mark my with a cross, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. So, of course, mark my with a cross, and you lay me in the dust of death. Mark you with a triangle, me with a cross. Verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. So, underline dogs, mark me with a cross. A band of evildoers, so underline that, has encompassed me, mark me with a cross. They pierced my hands and my feet. So, of course, underline they, mark my with a cross. Verse 17, I can count all my bones. So mark I and my with a cross. They look, underline they stare at me, underline they again, and mark me with a cross. In the last verse, they divided my garments among them. So underline they, mark my, underline them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Mark my with a cross, underline the word they. Okay, there are quite a few markings. And I will, as always, reread the text without interruption, beginning in verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Okay, so as always, we have several questions that help us to really dive a little bit deeper into the passage. So the first says, list the similarities you see between Psalm 22 and the account of the crucifixion of Jesus. There were quite a few similarities, and I will mention several of them. The first verse says, but I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. So we know, looking at the gospel, that Jesus was despised by many, including the chief priests and scribes, and there are many passers-by, for example, who despised and ridiculed and insulted Jesus. And we could see that, for example, if we were to look back at Mark 15, verse 3, it says, and the chief priest started accusing him of many things. And if I were to go on, it says, but Pilate questioning him again, saying, do you offer nothing in answer? See how many charges they are bringing against you. Okay, so again, He was hated by many. And moving on to another example of similarities, if you look at verse 7, it says here in Psalm 22, all who see me sneer at me, they separate with the lip, they wag the head, saying. And if we look at, for example, verse 29 of Mark 15, we see something similar. It says, those passing by were hurling abuse at him, shaking their heads and saying, ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Okay. So again, they as well were shouting insults at him. Also, if we look at a few more verses, for example, if you look at verse 8 of Psalm 22, it says, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. And if we go back to the Gospel of Mark, Mark 15, verse 30, we saw this. It says here, the crowd speaking, save yourself by coming down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. Okay, so we see that similarity in both passages. If we look at verses 9 and 10 of Psalm, it says here, yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. And we certainly know that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, so we have that similarity there. Moving on to, I will look at verse 11 of Psalm 22. And that says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And we could also look back again at Mark 15, verse 9. And in that instance here, it says, Pilate answering them, referring to the crowd, saying, do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? For he was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. And it goes on to say, but the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. And responding again, Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with him? And of course they shouted, crucify him. So again, there was no one to help the Lord. He was abandoned. Everyone was against him, and the people wanted to have him crucified. So once again, we see those similarities between what the psalmist is writing and what Jesus actually experienced. And I'll look at one more similarity. If you look at the last verse, verse 18 in Psalm, it says here, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And so we can see that similarity in verse 24 of the 15th chapter of Mark. And that says, and they crucified him and divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide what each man would take. So again, there are quite a few similarities between Psalm 22 and the gospel message, which gives us the narrative of how Jesus suffered and was crucified. Okay, moving on to the next question. It says, look at verses 14 through 17. How does this description correspond to what happens to the body during crucifixion? So let me read those verses 14 through 17 of Psalm. It says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. And as far as how the body reacts during crucifixion, I thought that I would take us back to the insight box, which is on page 63 in the workbook. And the last several paragraphs describes what happens to the body during crucifixion. And it says, crucifixion, again, dislocated the bones, putting the victim's joints into tormenting muscle cramps, while the heart experienced its own compression. It seems from John 19:34, Jesus' heart literally ruptured, thus the blood and water. Thirst intensified as the body lost its fluid and blood. Victims that did not die from shock succumbed to suffocation as their legs were broken and they could no longer breathe. Cicero described it as the cruelest and most hideous punishment possible. Okay, moving on to the next question. It says, look at verses 9 through 11. How does the psalmist handle this trial? And what does this tell you about his relationship to God? So again, we need to look back at verses 9 through 11. And it says, yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. And verse 11 says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Okay, so we see here that despite the trials and the circumstances that the psalmist was experiencing, he trusted in the Lord. He trusts in God. He proclaims that God has always been with him. He's been with him from his birth. Okay, from being in his mother's womb. Okay, and he also talks about, God being near in his time of trouble. He also acknowledges that there is no one who could help him, only God. Okay, so clearly God knows him intimately, and there is that close relationship with God because he declares, you are he who brought me forth from the womb. There is that close relationship between the psalmist and God. Okay, and moving on to the last question, it says here, by way of application, though we may never be killed for our faith, do you see anything here that can help you in times of trial or crisis? I think we are reminded here clearly that God is near in our times of trouble. And we must choose each and every time to put our trust in him, no matter what the situation is. We are to look to him, not focus on the circumstances. And no matter what is happening, we know that our God is sovereign. He's in control, and we can trust him in every situation. Okay. Before I close this episode, I'd like to share with you the wrap it up section, which begins on page 71. And it says, it was a unique day in the life of Simeon. This righteous and devout man had been looking for the consolation of Israel, Messiah. Now, prompted by the Spirit of God, he went to the temple on the very same day Joseph and Mary took their newborn son, Jesus, to present him to the Lord. When Simeon saw them, he knew it was the moment the Spirit had promise. Taking Jesus into his aged arms, he blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light, a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. About 33 years later, the mission was accomplished. After 3 years of teaching and proclaiming his God-given mission of seeking and saving the lost, Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. The death of Jesus on the cross secured salvation for the many. What appeared to be a tragic mistake in the slaying of the only perfectly righteous man turn out to be the victory over death. The will of God was accomplished, and we now are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 14. The only human being ever born without sin took our sin upon himself. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He bore in his body each and every sin we ever have committed and will commit. Why? So that we who believe might be forgiven and declared righteous, so that we may be saved from sin's penalty and power and someday live in God's presence with his Son. Sin's debt has been paid in full. There is no other sacrifice to be made. The sacrifice of Jesus broke sin's power. You don't have to live in bondage any longer. Have you truly believed this? If so, the way you live will show that Jesus Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I am going to conclude our study for today. I pray that today's lesson was a blessing to you. If so, I encourage you to share this Bible study with a friend. And if you would like to share your thoughts on today's verses, please leave a comment wherever you listen to An Encouraged Heart. For those of you who are new listeners, you can find An Encouraged Heart on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, and several other social media platforms. You can even ask Alexa to play An Encouraged Heart on Apple Podcast. Take care, and I look forward to you joining me next time. God bless.